Good morning. I'm excited to be here, and thanks for letting me stand here and share with you. Well, I'm afraid that for some time in this beautiful settings, you'll have to part with English language, and you'll have to listen to Pinglish. Do you know what is Pinglish? It's Polish English. That's the language which caused me a lot of problems many times in the past. I remember when I was first time in America, I was a guest with my friend who was a pastor, and he had to live with his wife, his home, for a while. And he said, well, just feel at home, feel free, everything is at your disposal. But I was a little bit nervous. My Pinglish was much worse than my Pinglish is today. And I was a little bit afraid that the telephone would ring. And I would be very comfortable to operate on the telephone. Well, you know how it is in America. They didn't leave their home for good, and here was the telephone. And there was somebody from the other side of the line asking, well, I would like to talk to the pastor. I was almost prepared to answer this kind of question. I said, pastor is not at home. I thought it will do, but this guy got persistent a little bit. And he said, where is the pastor? I got into trouble. I had to search my little computer for vocabulary. And finally, I found great words. I was very proud of myself. I said, pastor passed away. And I heard something like, oh, can I talk to his wife? And this was easy for me. I answered, no, she passed away too. And this guy kept asking. And he said, who are you? Then I start to search for another word, and I said, oh, I am his ghost. This morning, I do not want to talk about ghosts or guests. I would like to share the word of God with you. Would you please turn with me into Gospel of John, chapter 5. Gospel of John, chapter 5. I'll start to read in Pinglish, starting from verse number 1. After this, there was a festival of Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there was a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In this lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, Do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else stepped down ahead of me. Jesus said to him, stand up. Take your mat and walk. At once, the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. The Gospel of John is a very special place in my heart. I just love this gospel. And I like very much the setup John is making of his gospel. He's trying to convey the message of who Jesus is throughout all his gospel. Starting with the very beginning, he is very different from another evangelists, from another Gospels, which we find in New Testament. Well, if we go to Mark starts right in the point of Jesus starting his ministry. Whereas Matthew moves back in town introducing Jesus. He starts with his list of those who were before him, and he goes down to Abraham. Luke does the same, but even further in time, he starts with Adam. John starts much, much earlier. He says, at the beginning, there was a word. At the beginning. Before everything else was, here is the word. It was Jesus. In this way, he's showing us what kind of quality, who Jesus is. And then chapter after chapter after chapter, he's adding up to the great message of Jesus. In the second message, he's showing us Jesus at the Cana of Galilee in this wedding party. He's showing us that Jesus changing the water into wine, he is a new life. New life. Much better, as more better as wine is better than water. Jewish people were using water for all these kind of ablutions, for religious purposes. And Jesus is showing, I am new quality of religious life, as better as wine is in comparison to water. Then, in a very subtle way, John moves us down to the third chapter in order to show us that the life, the new quality of life, comes from above. In order to be saved, one has to acquire this new life from above, to be born again. In the fourth chapter, Jesus is shown as somebody who is knowledgeable, who knows much more. More, he's extended. His life is extended beyond our frameworks of thoughts. He crashes through the Samaritan woman and extends his new life to new nations. In the fifth chapter, John, in his very special way, he shows us a picture of Pool of Bethesda. For many years, those who were opposing Christianity were mocking us, Christians, that we believe in myth, because nobody was able to find Bethesda Pool. In the being 20th of this century, they found a cave in Jerusalem. And I like this hypothesis the most, that this is the place of Bethesda Pool. It was part of that size of the cave. Underwater was flowing through, and there were two pools and five porticos of colonnades in that. Sometimes 200 sick people were jumped there. And you know, electricity didn't work very efficiently at that time, so air conditioning was not good enough. You can imagine the effect. You can imagine how horrible, how miserable life was there in Bethesda Pool. They were lighting those oil lamps, smoking oil lamps, adding up to the tragedy of making through life there. And John, in his very special way, says, this is the life of non-born-again person. Stinky, gloomy, horrible life, which so many people enjoy. But the good news is that Jesus went down to Bethesda Pool to meet just with the one person. Isn't it excellent? To somebody who was in great need, Jesus saw his need and approached to him. This story reminds me very well of my life, of my childhood. I was born in 1950 in Poland when the country was immersed deeply under very primitive communism. In that time, there was only one ideology valid. Everybody was submitted to this ideology. If you're opposing that, you're a bad guy. Well, my father, as a lay pastor, was that category of bad guy, bad man. As a 5 or 6 years old little boy, I remember very well one day when two policemen came into our house and started to interrogate my father. They got to our kitchen, they put my father's tent at the table, one of them sat behind across the table, another one was standing next to my father. They were questioning him, showing their power. I remember how the policeman standing next to my father was hitting my father in his face a few times. The humiliation, the shame, and the grief all left horrible effect in my mind, in my heart, in my emotions. I was just about to jump up at one of these policemen. My mother grabbed me in the last moment because we had to watch that spectacle of hate and grief and humiliation. And they were just waiting for that. If I jumped at them, it would be called provocation. After they left, my father took my mother, my sister, myself, and we were down on our knees. And he was praying for these people that God will forgive them. I was all confused. I didn't know at that time what was going on, what all of that means. I had to learn later on what was that. After a few of these kinds of experiences during the communistic period, hate grew deep into my heart. I got caught into my own Bethesda pool. I was put into this gloomy, stinky place in my life. But the good news was, and good news is that Jesus approached to me with this good question: do you want to get well? Believe me, that time, if I was to answer this question, I would say, oh no, I do not want to get well. I enjoy my hate. I enjoy my bad feelings toward communists and toward the system. Biblical Theological Seminary got started 10 years ago, and I have the privilege to lead this institution in Poland in order to help such people like I used to be. Because so many people are in the same way even today in our country. People who are caught into their own Bethesda pool. People who are sick, hopeless, waiting forever for a miracle to happen, which probably would have never happened if not Jesus. The seminary was designed to train leaders and send them out to the country and preach the gospel to them, show them that there is hope in Jesus. We wouldn't be able to start without help from outside. And while we're organizing our school, there was a missionary from America, from your beautiful country, Dr. Mark Young, who is a theological educator. He was sneaking to Poland for many years from Vienna, working with Biblical Education by Extension. Some of you might have heard about this organization. And they were sneaking to Poland and to other communistic countries for many, many years, risking. And when I've shared the vision with Mark, he said, do you know what, I'm ready to move into Poland. And he moved into our country, like going down to Bethesda Pool. And he and his family came to Poland when Poland was crushed with the martial law. It was early 80s. You know, it was very, very hard time in the early 80s. I remember very well, we had some stores and they had a little list on the door, today on sale, and there were 5 items on that list. That was it. Poland, after the martial law, was completely down economically. Mark took courage, and with his family moved into Poland. To describe how it was at that time, let me tell you a little story. One day, Priscilla, Mark's wife, picked up the phone and called me, and she was all excited. She said, Zygmunt, come quick to our house. Next door, there's a little store. They have a sugar. With the determination and vision of the people like Mark Young and other missionaries, other people in America, among them, one of your professors, was in that very place, Dr. Phil Roberts. we're able to start up our school. Biblical Theological Seminary officially started in October 1st, 1990, with 18 students. From that time until today, we have trained 50 pastors who are serving in Poland and outside of Poland. Through our program went 300 people over the time of 10 years. And you wouldn't believe it, but 300 people makes 1% of evangelical population in Poland. So our little institution in Poland that trained 1% of leadership, evangelical leadership in Poland. In the first group of students who are coming to our study, to our seminary 10 years ago, there was one young man, a big fellow, and he came to us. He didn't impress us very much from the academic point of view. He was not up to this type of life. But, you know, he impressed us with his passion. He came to us and he said, you know what? I have a little group in my little town in the middle of Poland. I'm sharing with them the gospel. I shoot all my bullets. I do not know what to do with them more. Would you please instruct me? Would you please help me? How to help these people? And he was so up to helping these guys. And later on, we learned the history of Marek. Marek came from a broken home. His father is an alcoholic. His mother is non-Christian. And he and his twin brother, as young fellows, as young kids, they turned into alcohol and drugs. And they were going around in the city, putting together a gang of people. They shook, literally, their little town back in time. They were those really bad, bad guys. And somebody gave Marek New Testament one day. He started to read this New Testament, and he turned to Christ, his life. He became a Christian. As a strong leader, he took his whole gang and he started to read the Bible to them and explaining to them what he understands out of the Bible, not knowing that he's forming a little church and he's preaching to them. After some time, he said, okay, that's it. I do not know more. I need some more instructions. He was with us for 4 years over the old program. Came back to his own town with his lovely wife. Right now, he's two children, and he's a pastor of little church which he started in his town. Church which is growing. His mother attends to this church on a regular basis. His father, although he's struggling with the illness, he's coming, and he well respects his son. His twin brother is an elder of the church. Everybody knows Marek in this little town, but now they know him for another purpose. They know his changed life. Because of Jesus, he lives another life. Well, among this group of people, there was another young fellow. He came from totally different background, from the Catholic family. And his father was so unhappy that he came to study with us at Biblical Theological Seminary. For an average Catholic person to go and stick with Baptists would be like to stick with cult, because everything what is not Catholic in Poland is a cult. A few months ago, the other guy, Wojtek, who came from the Catholic family, he accomplished his PhD work and he defended his PhD work at the local University of Wrocław. A young, dynamic, fine scholar who is a professor of our seminary, our first fruit. We're so proud of him. We're so happy that this man is teaching right now with us. His father came to me during the defense time and he said, Dr. Karel, I was so unhappy when my son came to your seminary to study. But now I would like to give thanks for what has changed in the life of my son and how far he went. His father starts to consider gospel very, very seriously. Let me tell you another story about another young fellow another type of personality. He was studying with us, and in the middle of the studies, he said, "No more theory. I need to go to the mission field. There's no time to spend on that the studies. There's real life out there. God needs me out there." I was trying to persuade him, "Stay. There's only 2 years more, and you'll be much better equipped to the ministry." He had no time to do that. And he went to the country of Kazakhstan with his wife. A Pole going to Kazakhstan teaching English. I mean, probably it was Pinglish. To Kazakhs. Russians and Ukrainians were present as a Baptists in Kazakhstan, and they were not able to break into the Kazakh people. Less than 10 people were in many, many Baptist churches over the period of communistic time, because Ukrainians and Russians were considered imperialists who came over and took their own country. And they were preaching imperialist God. Nobody cared for that God. Our humble little missionary came to Kazakhstan, and they found out that those people are greedy for real life. They started to preach the gospel to them, and they found out that they have to use another name for Jesus, which Muslims are accustomed to, and they have to use another name for God, not Russian, Bog, but Kudai, their own name for God. And it was like opening new doors to their mentality. They found that they have to ask for permission of their heads, of their clans, whether they can stick with those little, with their friends at the university. And it opened up doors to their families. After 6 years of their ministry, they have over 100 Kazakhs, mostly from young intelligentsia. They started at the university, and right now those people in the leadership of that group, because out of this over 100 group, 12 of them are mature leaders. They can help, and they are helping their own people right now. Few of them are taking very important positions in big firms or even in government of Kazakhstan. I met Zbyshek, the missionary, a few months ago, and he said to me, "You know what? I feel like my time is over in Kazakhstan. I need to move somewhere else because they can help themselves right now." When Zbyshek decided to go out of the country to the mission field, and he became a first ever Baptist missionary from Poland, fully supported by the Polish Baptist Church, I thought, did we do something wrong about training? Because we're trying to prepare people to minister in Poland, not outside of Poland. Right now we have a few other missionaries in former Soviet Union ministering in these countries. These are only a few stories of many people which we as BST, Biblical Theological Seminary, had the privilege as a school to influence and to help. God is, in His grace, is blessing us in our ministry. 10 years ago, when we were dreaming about the seminary which would minister among Poles in the Polish language, all these dreams had come through. And right now we are rejoicing that God is so richly blessing us in our ministry. And believe me, part of that ministry started right here in this place. Through the ministry of these young people, our graduates, many Poles, are able to hear good news of Christ and salvation in Jesus' name. They found freedom in their own lives. When I come back to my thoughts of the Bethesda Pool, I have to imagine the situation when Jesus called the sick person, "Stand up! Take your mat and walk." And I have to imagine how was all this situation taking place. And I can imagine how this man was trying to stand up. And he was so
so weak. 38 years he was sick. He was trying to stand up because of the almighty power in Jesus' voice, which caused him to stand up. I imagine that his legs were shaken, his knees were weak. He took his mat and he started to walk out of Bethesda pool, step after step after step, upper more to the sunshine, to the real life, finally to the fresh air. And in this very special way, John tells us, this is the real life in Jesus. This is life, new life. And I am the life and the truth. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to challenge you with this one question. You might be in your own Bethesda pool with some problems from the past, some grief, things which you cannot forget about, problems which might hinder always your future ministry. But here's the good news. Jesus is right beside you with this good question. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? In the future, and my prayer is that many of you will take the courage and go out to the mission field. In the future, after you say yes to the Lord, you might be able to go to another cultures, to another people, and be this kind of messengers. A friend of mine was coming down to the situation of those people, to their own Bethesda pool, with this great message. Do you want to get well? The answer is yours. Amen.